Event horizon. Now, astronomy. A theoretical boundary around a black hole beyond which no light or other radiation can escape.
A point of no return. We're nearing the event horizon. A point of no return.
Welcome to the Event Horizon podcast, where we discuss the shadows and what lurks within them. We discuss true cases detailing murder, paranormal occurrences, and many more topics dealing with the limitless and curious monstrosities that inhabit the event horizon.
Okay. Oh, it's all weird. All right, welcome back to the Event Horizon. My name is Khan, and this is Kevin.
Hi.
So, you guys haven't heard from us in a few weeks, but I've been very busy starting a new job. So, and Kevin's been doing Van Wilder stuff at the college.
Yeah, my side job, peddling cocaine, has just got very risky.
The black market for kidneys as well.
Yeah.
But, so today we're going to be talking about cryptids and stuff like that. And it's just going to be a big overview. If you guys want us to go deeper into a certain topic, then message us on the Event Horizon Podcast at gmail.com or talk to us on Twitter at the EH Podcast. And then, and we'll talk more about it. And today, what we'll start off with is, we'll start off with a list of cryptids here. I'm going to go through a few things, but first, what we're going to do is actually, we're going to start off with some 911 calls about Bigfoot. And we'll do that right now, and then we'll talk about it.
911, what are you reporting?
I got a strange going on out here. Something just killed my dog.
Something killed your dog?
My dog was flying through the air over the tree. I don't know how it did it.
Okay.
Damn it, I'm really confused. All I saw was my dog coming over the fence, and Nate was dead when she hit the ground. I didn't see any cars. All I saw was my dog coming over the fence.
911, what are you reporting?
We got someone or something crawling around out here.
Did you see what it was? Was it a person or an animal or?
I can't tell. All I know is that my sensor light came on and I just happened to glimpse and see this thing running across the yard. A good sized man or something. It looks like, I mean, I don't know what it was, just that it ran across the yard.
Okay. You've had problems in the neighborhood before?
Yeah, my dog was killed here just recently. I don't know what it was. Whatever it is, it's running. I couldn't catch it if I was going to chase it. But whatever it was standing up. I'm out here looking through the window now and I don't see anything. I don't want to go outside. Christ, you better see him.
Hello?
Get somebody out here.
What's going on now, sir?
That son of a bitch is about 6'9", I don't know.
Do you see him now, sir?
Yes, I'm looking right at him.
Uh-oh. Okay, hang on.
He's right.
Is he in your yard, sir?
Yeah, God, he's big.
Okay, what's he doing in your yard?
He's looking at me.
Oh, and the guy is on foot.
I don't know what, it's a big, real big person, that's all I can say.
Okay, but it is a person.
I'd say it was a person, somebody really big. But he's all in black.
Is he a black male or a white male? Did you actually see whether, or was he just wearing black?
He's all black and he's big. He is big.
Well, I think that was it, but that was a 911 call about somebody. Shit, sorry. But about somebody. Bigfoot, probably, allegedly, kicking somebody's dog. I'm not a big Bigfoot dude. Are you?
Not really.
I don't think there's anything wrong with it, but I don't have a lot of thoughts about it.
He would have killed more people. Like, hiking's a pretty common hobby.
Yeah.
That was actually a pair of calls, wasn't it?
Those two of them, I think. Or maybe it was like him calling back or something. But
I don't know, because in the second call, the operator asked if he had a problem before, and he was like, yeah, somebody killed my dog. So I assume like that was at a later date, but...
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Man, but that's fucked up. Bigfoot yeeted this guy's dog over the fence.
Was The Devil Inside a real movie? Because I'm seeing... No, that's just a promotion for The Devil Inside. But... Unexplained Ghostly Encounters. KHON News. Is that real? Haunt officers at training facility. Well, anyway, that was Bigfoot. So, Bigfoot, let's go into Bigfoot real quick. What do they call him, though? Something else. Bigfoot. There he is.
Sasquatch? Sasquatch.
Yeah. So, Bigfoot, or Sasquatch, are, and the plural of Bigfoot is Bigfoot. Apparently. Or Sasquatch. It's not Sasquatches or Bigfeet. Are said to be hairy, upright, walking, ape-like creatures that dwell in the wilderness and leave footprints. And depictions often portray them as a missing link between humans and human ancestors or other great apes. They are strongly associated with the Pacific Northwest, like Oregon, Washington, British Columbia, and people claim to see the creatures across North America. So the first sighting... Or here, ecologist. How do you fucking say ecologist?
I think you got it right the last time. Just ecologist.
Oh, okay. There you go. Robert Pyle says that most cultures have an account of human-like giants in their folk history, expressing a need for some larger-than-life creature. It's many names meant something along the lines of wild man or hairy man. So it's basically me. Whenever I get lost in the woods. If you ever see me naked in the woods, it's not Bigfoot, it's me. And I'm eating honey or something.
I'm not just picturing you, because, like, you're not 7 foot tall. I'm picturing you on, like, the jump stilts. Just, yeah. Like, shirtless running around the woods.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. Dude, that's exactly what it would be, though, because I'm not 7 feet tall. I'm 5'7", so I'm a short boy. You know what they call short people nowadays? They call short boys short kings, apparently, because there's a song called Short Kings.
Did a short guy write it?
Probably. I think so. Let me see. Short King. The Short King's Anthem on YouTube. It goes like this. A. Oh, wait, no, it doesn't. It goes, baby, get low, because I already am. Staring through a skirt like I'm Superman. My hair at an inch, your boy Dapper Dan. I always look fit. I ain't got a cramp. Cut shortly off because I'm short term. Controlling my joystick. Now it's your turn. I don't listen to a chirp. Bro, that's your bird. Dude's bent out of shape because they got curved. I could suck a titty while I'm standing up.
Fucking.
Don't ever fucking tell me I ain't man enough. Standing 5'8", voice... 6'5". Your whole whip cracking because we're short guys. Yeah, it's a whole anthem for people like me.
Man, I can suck a titty while standing. Jesus.
Oh, man. I can read some more. Let's see. I'm 5 foot something, but my bill's all paid. On my tippy toes from LA to the bay. Going off the deep end, chill in the shallow. You don't need your heels, girl. Just bring a towel. I'm 5 foot something and I'm royalty. Short King Mama A. I'm 5 foot something. Blah, blah, blah. And no, must be this tall to ride. I'm a fun size, super nice guy. I'm 5 foot something and I'm royalty. All my shirt tags say XM. 5 girls saying I'm their best friend. Pants not cuffed, they just hemmed. She all in my hotspot because she's tethering? Still stand tall, I don't need height. Using all my words, I ain't gotta fight. The glove only comes off at night. Give my shirt to her, bet it fit right. Stuntin' in my platform shoes. I serenade you, just built like a flute. Oh, I serenade. Anyway, Yeah, this is a nice song for people like me. But I would be the short Bigfoot, and I would terrorize all of the communities.
You'd just be like a human-sized hobbit.
Yeah, dude. But I don't have big feet either, so I'd be Smallfoot.
I guess.
I'd be Smallfoot, and I'd be jumping around everywhere on those stilts.
Do you know the difference between Bigfoot and, like, a Yeti?
Yeti is in, like, the snow.
Yeah.
Abominable like snowman.
Yeah, but is the difference just, like there's a brown bear, and then where it's cold, there's a polar bear? Is that the thing, or?
Well, the Yeti, I wonder if there's pictures for what a Yeti looks like. The Yeti looks like, oh man, I looked up Yeti and it's just a bunch of cups.
Those are really nice cups.
Well, Yeti's, let's see, there's a Yeti picture that looks like the Bigfoot video they drew. But, yeah, I guess the Yeti looks a little bit different. It looks more like a bear human. Apparently, from what I'm looking at. And it's blue skin?
I believe so.
Yeah, that's what it looks like. It's a Bigfoot, but this first sighting, or well, one of the sightings was in that video that everyone's seen. And there's some explanations that they say are what it might have been. Like, it might have been a bear with mange. Which, let me show you what a bear with mange looks like.
Are you going to find a picture of, like, a bear without hair?
Oh, yeah.
They look weird. They look like a big version of Rufus from Kim Possible. It's fucking strange.
Here's a good one. Let me do this image. If you guys want to look it up, just look at bear with mange.
Yeah, that thing looks weird.
Yeah, so they think that people might be mistaking it for that. Another explanation is just pure out hoaxes, like somebody in a gorilla suit or something.
Shikali Onali just running around scaring people.
Yeah, I think there was a I think there was a thing where somebody had apparently Bigfoot in a coffin, and they would, let me see, they had Bigfoot in a coffin, and they would go on tour with him. There you go. It's called, let's see, what is this?
Who was the guy?
I'm trying to figure out Bigfoot buys, I'm trying to find out. It was in Amarillo, apparently. Amarillo, so things got weird, as they so often do, in a Walmart parking lot. Amarillo has three such behemoths. I haven't been to Amarillo in a long time. Everyone talks about Amarillo so much, but I don't really feel like it's a big city.
I don't think so. And I know a guy who moved to Amarillo for work. I don't think he likes it.
Is it too big or what?
No, I think it's just dead. Like, there's nothing to do.
Yeah, it's not even, but yeah, this is that picture of them in the coffin. They went on, like a tour with them, and I'm trying to find it, but there's so much freaking words here that I gotta read.
That would be the scariest thing, though, like a Bigfoot, because I assume he's gonna have, like, gorilla strength. But he's going to be way bigger than a gorilla.
Yeah, exactly. I think his name is Ricky Trailer Chuck Dryer. Is that it? Let me just do Ricky Trailer. Yeah, I can't find shit. But anyway, yeah, they ended up going around with that Bigfoot thing in a coffin. It has, like, it looks like they did an autopsy on him, almost.
Yeah, Ricky Dryer, though. Dyer? D-Y-E-R.
Yeah. So there was that. And then next. So we're going to list off a few of them real quick. There's the Altamaha. Ha? or the other name is Alti, which is like a sturgeon, or plesiosaur, which is like a long-necked water dinosaur or something. In Georgia, there's the Bear Lake Monster in Idaho. Hey, do you know anything about the Bear Lake Monster?
I know about the Pondere Paddler.
Pondere Paddler?
Uh-huh.
What? Pondere, I'm going to look that up. Pondere Paddler. Let's see what that looks like. Paddler, the submarine monster. Is there any pictures?
Sorry about that scar on my knee.
From the paddler?
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's a Pondere, or there's that one. There's Bessie, the Lake Erie monster, which everyone knows about. It's that famous, the Loch Ness monster, I think. No, Lake Erie. So the Bessie, and then there's Nessie, which is the lake, Loch Ness monster. There's also Champ in Lake Champion. Bunyip is a lake and cave animal in Australia.
Oh yeah, Bunyip.
The Kraken. Ishii is a lake monster in Japan. What were you going to say?
No, I was just thinking about like Australian cryptids. Because like how... Australia's scary already. So like how better
Australia's cryptids? Already full of cryptids. Yeah, that's true.
I was going to say, they got dingo stealing babies. That's real.
Yeah, the mom didn't do it. It was the dingoes. That. She got
like 4-pound spiders. They fucking...
She got falsely convicted. Nobody talks about the dingoes enough. Ridiculous, man. there's got to be a lot of cryptids. I mean, there shouldn't be that much, actually, in Australia since they're full of them, but... there's the Chessie. It's all E's for all these lake monsters. Except for Champ. But there's a Doparchu, which is a water hound. Extra large, otter-like, carnivorous aquatic animal in Ireland. Giant anaconda, a.k.a. the megaconda. The ego pogo in Lake Simcoe, Ontario. The Ishii, you already said that one. Loch Ness Monster, Mom Lambo. A bunch of lake monsters. I don't think lake monsters are that cool. Lake Monster. Those are all lake monsters, so I'm not going to go through any more of them. There's the terrestrial cryptids, the Almas, which is a non... So a bunch of Bigfoot-type things. But... Jersey Devil, Mothman, stuff like that. Let me see if I can find some more 911 calls about the Mothman, maybe.
Yeah, I was going to ask. Do you know anything about the Mothman?
The Mothman is in Virginia, and I know that it causes you to have pink eye, I think. There's a statue of it in Virginia, apparently. I'll send you a picture of it. It's a cool statue. That one right there.
Oh, that's really nice.
Yeah, I want to make it bigger because I can't really see it too good. But, so I'll read the history of it. On November 12th, 1966, five men were digging a grave at a cemetery near Clendenin, West Virginia. Claimed to have seen a man-like figure fly low from the trees over their heads. This is often identified as the first known sighting of what became known as the Mothman. Shortly after, on November 15th, two young couples from Point Pleasant, Roger and Linda Scarberry and Stephen Mary Millett, told police they saw a large creature whose eyes glowed red when the car's headlights picked it up. They described it as a large flying man with 10-foot wings. Following their car while they were driving in an area outside of town known as the TNT area, the site of a former World War II munitions plant. During the next few days, other people reported similar sightings. Two volunteer firemen who saw it said it was a large bird with red eyes. Mason County Sheriff George Johnson commented that he believed the sightings were due to an unusually large heron. He termed a shite poke. It looks a shitty poke? Shitey poke? I don't know. Contractor Newell Partridge told Johnson that when he aimed a flashlight at the creature in a nearby field, its eyes glowed like bicycle reflectors, and blamed buzzing noises from his television set and the disappearance of his German Shepherd dog on the creature. Wildlife biologist Dr. Robert L. Smith in West Virginia University told reporters that descriptions and sightings all fit the sandhill crane, a large American crane that is almost as high as a man with 7-foot wingspan, featuring circles of reddish coloring around the eyes, and the bird may have wandered out of its migration route. This particular crane was recognized at first because, well, was unrecognized at first because it was not native in this region. Have you seen a sandhill crane? That doesn't look like a Mothman. It looks cool, though. But not a Mothman. If you look Mothman, it up.
He got a cameo in the Fallout game, didn't he? Or no, he didn't.
Yeah, he did. He's one of the bosses or whatever in there. I want to play Fallout 76 again. I bet it's good now. Because I think they added NPCs, and they had a bunch of free DLCs drop. But Mothman is in there. Let me see if I can find a video with Mothman in 76. Mothman.
I think he had a couple different versions, like one that was hostile to you and one that just like creeped on you.
Yeah. Let's see. Fallout 76, the hardest boss in 76. Oh, there it is. All right. Yeah, he's in there. Doesn't really do anything, though. Unless this is, like, some kind of a code. But
I really like when games add cryptids. Like, open-world stuff. Like, there was a couple for the old GTA games. Like, there was Ratman in San Andreas.
Yeah, and there's also the Yeti, or whatever, Sasquatch in there as well. In Grand Theft Auto 5, there's a Bigfoot Easter egg. Kevin?
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay. Just checking up. I thought we lost. So there's the Mothman, and apparently in 2016, WCHS TV published a photo purported to be a Mothman taken by an anonymous man while driving on Route 2. Science writer Sharon A. Hill proposed that the photo showed a bird, perhaps an owl, carrying a frog or snake away, and wrote that there's zero reason to expect that this is a Mothman as described in legend. There are far too many reasonable explanations. So I'm going to look up that photo, Mothman picture. All right, so, oh, I found it. Okay, I'm going to actually just find the actual picture. Here it is. So this is what people are saying are the Mothman. Copy image.
That looks like SpongeBob. When he got his, like, Batman suit. A little rubber bat suit.
He had a rubber bat suit?
Yeah, he wanted to fly.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, I'll find a close-up of his butt cheeks.
God. Alright, so that's that one. Then we also have some vampires. Let me find some. So vampires, obviously, there's not just one type of vampire, apparently. There's a bunch. So there's the Layak, which is from Bali, and it consists of a flying head with body organs hanging out of its gory, severed neck. As if that wasn't bad enough, the face is stuffed with nightmares, bulging eyes, tusks, straggly hair, black hair, and a abnormally long tongue. And rather than fangs, it puts its tongue to you, sucking out the blood of fetuses or newborn babies. Oh! If they can't get their metaphorical hands on a baby, they'll make do with corpses from local graveyards instead. So it's a shapeshifter as well, with the power to appear like an ordinary human or a flying pig.
which is or a flying pig. He,
oh, that real, does look like SpongeBob.
Stealth options.
The Assassa Bonzim is a vampire with creepy iron hooks instead of feet. And I'm going to look up a picture of this, actually, so we can get a look. The Abba, I don't even know how to pronounce that, but it has iron hooks instead of feet. So if you look it up, oh god. All right, I'm going to send you this picture. So that's what that one looks like. But basically, this one is from Ghana, and it hangs from tree branches waiting for unwary victims to pass by. Once it spots you, it drives its hooks into your shoulders, lifts you into the trees, and eats you alive. It's not too fussy when it comes to its meals. If it can't get a hold of a tasty human, it's more than happy with animals instead. And for some reason, it likes to eat the thumbs first. That's weird.
That is weird.
They got the Ikimu? How do you pronounce that? Ikimu. Oh god, that thing looks even worse. Is that a RuneScape character?
What?
How to pronounce Ikimu? Ikimu.
Where are you looking these up?
Oh, that was one of the links that we had in the Discord.
Yeah, the...
That's the first one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Ikimu. Yeah, because... Here, I'll send a picture. That's why I said it looks like it's from RuneScape. What game is this from? Copy image address. Alright, so there's that picture. Whoa, it looks different than when I was looking at it. It's all darker.
It's,
You're talking about the Castlevania one?
Oh, is it Castlevania? Oh, okay, so the Ikimi was from Mesopotamia. And ancient Mesopotamia... Whatever, Mesopotamians... believed in the Ikimu, or evil wind gusts. The souls of the dead who traveled in the breeze and like to suck out the life force of their victims. According to legend, you can become an Ikimu if you died in battle, were murdered, were too young, starved, drowned, or didn't respect the gods enough. In short, there were alarmingly many ways to become one of the windy armed of the undead. So that's the Ikimu. They got the Neuntoter. That's Germany. So brace yourself because this is a really unpleasant brand of the undead. The Neuntoter comes from Germany and doesn't get off on drinking blood. Instead, it likes to spread death in the form of deadly disease. The name translates as the Killer of Nine. Like, what was that map on zombies? Kina der Toten? Kina der Toten?
So, yeah, I'm trying to think. That sounds really familiar, like, now that you say it.
Yeah, so Neuntoter is Killer of Nine. As Germans believe, it took a dead body 9 days to return to turn into one of these vile creatures. So I'm going to look up some more pictures of the Neuntoter.
So they just come back as, like, a rotting corpse.
Oh, apparently they're a bird, too. That's all the images I see that are coming up. Or a bunch of birds. The Neuntoter. Toter.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that there's a bird.
Yeah, I can't find an actual picture. Neuntoter. Oh, shoot. Let's just close that out. But the Neuntoter. All right, so then we got the Asima, which is a... It looks like human by day, but when the sun goes down, the demonic creature sheds its human skin and becomes a sinister ball of blue light. What the hell? Gliding through the air, it's able to sneak into people's houses and drain their blood. there are ways to ward it off, like garlic, and freaks out at the sight of seeds and nails. So if you got some fucking bird seed laying around, you'll be fine on that.
That's weird.
Yeah, the ball of blue light.
Yeah.
It's a weird way to be a vampire. They got the Brahma Purusha. Brahma Purusha. I feel like I've heard of that one before. So it sucks. It likes to drink blood, but that's basically where the similarities end to classic vampires. Rather than necking the red stuff all at once, it drains your blood carefully into a skull, and then it sifts it whenever it wants later, at leisure. Then it removes your brain, which is a delicacy to it. The Brahma Purusha is, or the Brahma Purusha is a bit of a show-off and likes to display his murderous ways in the goriest way possible by wrapping its victims' intestines around its entire body. Sadly, this vampire isn't satisfied with just one person. It has a rapacious appetite and likes to devour several poor folk before it calls it a night.
That makes me think of, what's his name? Vlad the Impaler?
Yeah.
Because he used to do really weird shit, too.
Yeah, Vlad the Impaler. That's why they call him Dracula. Vlad, because Dracula means the dragon, I think. Vlad the Impaler. Or Vlad Dracula.
He had a tendency of, like, not only drinking blood, but, like, dipping bread in it. Just being weird.
So, I've got some facts about Vlad the Impaler, since we're talking about them. The name Dracul, used by Vlad the Impaler's father, eventually grew to be associated with the word devil, but it was originally an honor for those inducted into the Order of the Dragon. What the man, why can't we have cool ones like that anymore? Like, cool little secret. Oh, we do. The Order of the Dragon was created in 1408 by Emperor Sigismund as a chivalric order. In 1942, Vlad III and his brother Radu were taken hostage by the Ottoman Empire's ruler at the time, Sultan Murad II. This was meant to ensure Wallachia's loyalty. Vlad and Radu were schooled in the arts of science and philosophy, among other subjects, while living with their captors. They were also schooled in the art of war, learning how to use how to ride a horse and use a sword. Some believe that Vlad the Impaler learned how to impale his enemy while being schooled by the Ottomans. Vlad, once he became the ruler of Wallachia in 1448, he chose to side with the Hungarians and fought the Ottoman Empire. He often impaled his victims to scare the invading Ottomans away. He married twice. Vlad the Impaler is not believed to have loved blood as much as the fictional character Dracula, except he didn't drink it. He dipped his bread in his victim's blood to eat. What the fuck? This dude was eating blood. Probably for some disrespect, man.
Maybe.
I mean, what would be more disrespectful than having your blood be eaten with bread?
I mean, maybe he just liked the taste. The iron. I saw a lady who liked to eat laundry detergent.
Oh, what was that show called? My Strange Addiction or something?
Yep. That's it.
So he, Vlad's father, had been betrayed by his own people and buried alive with his eldest son when Vlad had become hostage to the Ottomans as a teen. Vlad got revenge by having those he suspected of the betrayal impaled. It's pretty brutal, man. I wonder how he ended up dying. Do you know?
Probably some blood-transmitted disease.
Probably. See, there's some better facts, though. Dracul originally meant dragon. We already know that one. Sir Impaler. Dracula was given the name Tepes, which was mean impaler in Romanian. He was also known by the Turks as Kazikilibe, which means Sir Impaler. One of his favorite military tactics was to ambush the enemy with lightning attacks on horseback, impale enemy soldiers, and then get out of there as fast as possible. He did this to compensate for his small army compared to the Turks and limited resources. And he had a morbid sense of humor. One account said that, after being impaled, his victims watched and twitch around as they died. One account said that he casually once said, "Oh, what a gracefulness they exhibit." In another story, when a soldier disrespectfully covered his nose because of the stench of the rotting corpses, Dracula impaled the unfortunate man too. This dude is fucked up.
Well, he was just looking for excuses, like.
Yeah, this guy is like. This guy's rough. And the Turks, the Ottoman, they fucking taught him how to do all this shit, and then he just decided to flip it around on them.
I mean, in my mind now, I'm imagining, like, the "can I speak to your manager" kind of thing.
Yeah.
But, like, then he pulls out a giant steak.
"I am the manager.
I don't want your gift card. You're getting impaled."
I wish, dude, can you imagine if we could go back in time and just walk through all the impaled people? That's fucked up, man. I wonder how many impaled victims he had at a time. A golden cup crafted and placed in the town square. The rule was that anyone could drink out of it, but it could never leave the square. So the cup was never touched. 60,000 people lived there, and a lot of them were really poor, but nobody ever touched his cup. Because they were scared of him, I guess.
That makes sense, yeah. Stringing people up like Christmas lights. I wouldn't want to touch his cup either.
After burning down an Ottoman stronghold in 1461, Dracula allegedly presented 24,000 Turkish and Bulgarian heads to officials. Why the fuck do you need 24,000 heads? So, he would invite people over to dinner at his mansion, give them a feast, and then have them impaled at the dinner table. Then he would finish his dinner, dipping his bread in the pooled blood of his victims. I wonder, do not want to be near this dude.
There's a good chance that all that's real, but what are the chances that this was, like, propaganda? Like, to intimidate other people?
I don't know. I think that people have done a lot of fucked up things for a long time, so it could be maybe that 24,000 was probably not real. But because it keeps saying, like, it was reported that Dracula once impaled 20,000 people in a single day. So after fleeing the Ottoman advance, he left a proverbial forest of the impaled in his wake, mostly made up of prisoners of war. Is there a movie about him? I need to see it, if there is. I'm going to check it out. So, apparently he killed about 100,000 people, estimated.
Man, he's pushing some numbers out.
In Romania, Vlad the Impaler is a national hero and is mostly revered. His cruelty is acknowledged, but is seen as a necessary at the time to maintain his power and repel his enemies. Dracula died in battle while fighting the Turks. His body was reportedly buried at a cemetery at the Snagov Monastery. His remains were never found. Historian Konstantin has suggested that Vlad may be buried in the Comana Monastery, where he was killed. So. That's fucking crazy. That's Vlad.
Yeah, what a weird guy.
I just want to know what Vlad the Impaler's impalings. I want to see like what it might have looked like, because there's tons of pictures. Dracula Untold. Is that? Yeah, that's where one of these gifts are from. I'm gonna see if here's a clip. I'll send it to you real quick. We'll play it too, but it's not like you guys will be able to see it. We'll describe it. Just click that link, Kevin.
In the year of our Lord, 1442, the Turkish Sultan enslaved 1,000 Transylvanian boys to fill the ranks of his army. These child slaves were beaten without mercy, trained to kill without conscience, to crave the blood of all who defied the Turks. From among these boys, one grew into a warrior so fierce that entire armies would retreat in terror at the mention of his name. Vlad the Impaler, son of the dragon. Sickened by his monstrous acts, Vlad came to bury his past with the dead and returned to Transylvania to rule in peace. His subjects called him prince. I called him father. But the...
So I don't know how much of that is... I mean, that's kind of sense, kind of accurate, but... Yeah, so that, there was a picture... There was basically... If you guys look up a clip, you'll see the thing that we're talking about, but there's a bunch of people on sticks. So... That's one. We can go into like a really deep dive of Vlad the Impaler if you guys are super interested. We can do like a whole series on it, but just send us an email or something so that we know. Let's see what else we got. What else is a really interesting one? I lost that list. There's one more list that I got, so let me check that one out. Some more vampires. There's the... Okay, these are basically all the same ones. The Churl is a Hindu demon, which low-caste women who die while pregnant in childbirth are at risk of becoming Churl. Hideous creatures with unnaturally long and thick... an unnaturally long and thick black tongue, or in some stories, no mouth, hanging breasts, unkept hair, and backwards feet. They prey on young men, especially those who were close in life, and this is how to kill it. The best defense here is prevention. Creation of Churl can be prevented by ensuring all the proper burial rites. Once your loved ones are haunted by a Churl, you'll need a pandit, a Hindu scholar, to drive the Churl away, although she may return months later. So that's pretty much a lose-lose. There's a Yaramayahu, which is an aboriginal Australian monster. It doesn't suck blood through its mouth, but instead uses suckers on its fingers and toes to drink up the blood.
Oh, that's gross.
Yeah.
Just somebody slipping their long leg through the window.
Oh, no.
Sucking your blood with their toes.
Parents warn their children not to struggle, since the creature will usually spit you back out again, so it also swallows its victim's whole. It'll usually spit you back out again after it's digested you a little bit. But if you're swallowed, digested, and regurgitated too many times, you'll start to shrink, turn red, and develop suckers, and turn into Yaramayahu yourself. According to Monstropedia, if a Yaramayahu fails to regurgitate its victim, it will be killed by the spirit of the fig tree it inhabits. But letting yourself be swallowed permanently is a bad deal. I don't understand that. That one's a little bit weird. The Miertovjek is a Belarusian creature, which is a cross between vampires and werewolves. When a werewolf or a witch dies, it might rise from the grave as a particularly powerful vampire. Look-wise, the Miertovjek... How do you pronounce that? If I'm pronouncing it wrong, I'm sorry. It has many more in common with the Asian floaty head vampires than with its European cousins. Its head and upper chest rip from the rest of its body when it launches its nighttime search for food. If it fails to return to its grave before the rooster crows three times, it will be immobilized and can be burned with fire. You can also drive an iron stake through its abandoned chest and quickly burn the Muratovic's body with fire. The Doppelsauger is a German vampire name, which translates as double sucker, because it's the undead revenant of a child who was breastfed after being weaned. To gather enough strength to break out of its coffin, the Doppelsauger will eat its own burial shroud and then its own breast. Once it's free, it will attack the breast of its female. What the hell? This is a titty baby.
It's a baby vampire that eats titties.
Yeah, it will attack the breasts of its female relatives. It's a demon with mother issues. Apparently, according to Rosemary Guiley's Encyclopedia of Werewolves, Vampires, and Other Monsters, every part of the Doppelsauger decays except the lips. Oh. Binding the body and placing a cross in its mouth will prevent the Doppelsauger from eating its shroud in itself. But once it has broken free, you'll need to exhume the body and stab it in the back of the neck with a spade. Horrifyingly, the creature will scream as it dies. Well, I mean, that's good to know.
That's very specific.
Yeah. The Nachtzehrer. I don't know. This is Silesian folklore. It can feed off its victims exclusively by devouring its own clothes and body, although it will occasionally chew on other corpses. It's a sympathetic vampire, meaning that close relatives feel the effects of the creature eating itself, eventually withering and dying themselves. And apparently it's a notoriously noisy eater. As with many vampires, placing a stone or a coin in the corpse's mouth is recommended to keep it from eating. If you want to be sure it won't continue its nocturnal noshing, you can opt for a classic vampire decapitation. So, and I don't know if you know this, but there's skeletons with bricks in their mouths. If you look that up, bricks in the mouth. And the reason why that is because of this, because of the vampire superstition back in the day. You can see I'm looking up right now, there's one has a stake through the leg and a brick in the mouth. Another brick in the mouth. One of them has like a sickle or something that cut off its head and is staying in there.
Oh, yeah. That's weird.
Yeah, there's a bunch of pictures with the same iron. Like, what is that? Let's see. Stake in the leg and a brick in the mouth. Alright, I'm trying to see the stake in the leg. Where is that at? See the gallon.
Remains of a vampire dug up in Griswold, Connecticut about 30 years.
Griswold, Connecticut. Vampire dug up. So that the one with the stake in the leg and the stone in the mouth was in Connecticut. And it was apparently in the 16th century. So.
I guess it's weird to me because I don't think this is like a burial ceremony. Like, it's not a religious thing. It's just superstition.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Maybe people were like, don't know if it's real. Might as well be safe about it. Put a rock in his butt.
Have you seen the vampires from Dusk Till Dawn? Those things are ugly, yes. Man.
Is that they were movie like in Alaska?
No, it was in Mexico, where there was a bunch of bank robbers, and they went to a strip club in Mexico.
Mm.
But they were basically rats, and then they turned into bats. They were bat rats.
I watched that a long time ago.
It was good, dude. I watched it recently, and I thought it was pretty cool.
But what's the other vampire movie? I can't think of it now. It's in Alaska. And you know how the sun goes down for like a whole month?
Oh, yeah, yeah. What's that vampire movie where the sun in Alaska and the sun goes down like 30 days a night or something? Yeah, something like that. Let me see.
Okay.
30 Days of Night. Yeah, 30 Days of Night.
Okay, I'm satisfied. Now that I know.
I'm gonna try to check it out, or just see a trailer. Because I don't remember. I remember, maybe that was Riddick. I've never seen 30 Days of Night. Sam Raimi did it, so fucking must be good. Yeah, wow, I'm gonna have to check this out, dude.
I remember it being good.
Yeah, I'm gonna check it out. Oh yeah, that looks great. So then we got werewolves and lycanthropy, and that's an actual disease as well. And it doesn't only mean that you think that you're a wolf, it also means that you think you're any type of animal. Let me just double check, but I'm pretty sure. So people who think they're an actual animal. It means that a form of madness involving the delusion of being an animal, usually with correspondingly altered behavior.
Furry look.
Yeah, basically furries.
Yeah, I was thinking it too.
So shout out to all the furries out there with your
madness.
Lycanthropy. And that's clinical lycanthropy. But if we look at werewolf. The werewolf started in... Well, I remember there's some stories like in Greek mythology, I think. And don't quote me because I don't really know for sure. But one of the mythologies or one of the legends, what they would do is they would have a wolf skin. And that wolf skin would turn you into a wolf for like 7 days. And you'd be a wolf for 7 days straight. And you couldn't change out. And then, after the 7 days, you would, turn back into normal. But, so it's a human with the ability to shapeshift into a wolf, either purposely or after being placed under a curse or affliction, often a bite or a scratch from another werewolf. And especially on the night of a full moon. Early sources for belief in this ability or of affliction called lycanthropy are Petronius 27 to 26 or to 66 and Gervas of Tilbury 1150 and 1228. That's when they lived and died. Whoa, that guy lived for a long time back in the day. Let's see what they used to do, though. They did something for werewolves, too. So the character is... Huh?
I like this little bit. I was reading about werewolves. Many so-called werewolves from centuries ago were, in fact, serial killers.
Yeah.
And that's it. No, they just killed people.
If we want to really talk about something, there's the vampire of Dusseldorf. If you guys want me to talk about that, Peter Curtin is a that guy's a fucked up guy. We can talk about him. They have his head in a museum. The Vampire of Dusseldorf. And they actually have his I guess vivisected is what it would be called, head. Where is it at, though? Oh, okay. We'll talk about that one, too. Execution. So, this is this dude's last words. This is how much this guy loved blood so much. Shortly before his head was placed on... And this is how sadistic he was. Shortly before his head was placed on a guillotine, Curtin turned to the psychiatrist and asked the question, "Tell me, after my head is chopped off, will I still be able to hear, at least for a moment, the sound of my own blood gushing from me, from the stump of my neck? It would be the pleasure to end all pleasures."
What a weird guy.
Well, let's talk about I'm just going to go a brief overview. We can get way more into this if you guys want. Send us an email. But he killed a bunch of kids. It's pretty fucking, it's pretty rough. If we do get into this, it's going to be a rough episode. But he strangled the, he encountered a 9-year-old girl asleep in her bed. He strangled her, slashed her twice across the throat with a pocket knife. And he came in his pants as he heard the blood dripping from her wounds onto the floor by the bed. That, and that's just one of them. This guy is a actual monster.
No, did he claim that?
No, that's what he said happened, but the wounds also correlated to what he said. While rafting on the Rhine, Curran pushed a schoolmate off the raft and into the water. At this point, another boy jumped into the water to attempt to save the drowning boy, but Peter held his head under the water, effectively drowning both boys. Their deaths were ruled accidental drownings, and Curran was cleared of any wrongdoing. He also loved to fuck sheep. He would constantly have sex with animals. A dog catcher who lived in his building was the one who introduced young, impressionable Curran to bestiality. At first, Peter was only having sex with dogs, but as time went on, he began to engage with sheep and goats. The first time he murdered was that girl I told you about. And her uncle got into a severe argument with her father the same night, saying that he would do something the father would remember all his life.
So this guy was a furry too.
Fuck. Yeah, this guy was a furry.
No, he seems really weird.
Like, yeah, dude, I want to get into him. Maybe we can do that next episode. We can talk about this guy.
Like, I've been watching a lot of police interviews, and normally they'll be from people who committed murder. And they tend to show, like, a lot of regret. Even though they're murderers, like, they're upset with what they did. I don't think this guy would be upset or regret anything.
Dude, he didn't. Then they asked him after he said the thing about his head getting chopped off. He said, "Do you have any other last words?" And he said, "No." Like, this guy didn't care. Yeah, we could get into him. Definitely. Let's see. So there's another type of werewolf called the Precoatlet. Precoatlichy. That's what Wikipedia says it's pronounced. Similar to another word I can't pronounce, it says. Similar to a Varkolak, although the latter symbolizes a goblin, whereas the Precoatlichy also has a wolf-like characteristics. It's similar to Strigoi, whatever. They're undead souls that have risen from the grave to harm living people. While Strigoi possesses anthropomorphic qualities similar to those to the ones it had before death, you know what? This article. Priocoli. Man, is there any Romanian people listening? Do you guys want to read this? Email me, and then we might have you to read the heart when I can't read them. But it almost always resembles a wolf. Malicious, violent men are often said to become a Precoatlichy after death. In some Romanian folklore, delineates that Precoatlichy are werewolves in life, and after they die, return as vampires. This also gives rise to the legend of vampires that can turn into animals such as wolves, dogs, owls, or bats. The common theme of all these animals are that they are nocturnal hunters, much like vampires. I didn't know that. That's why they never turn into a fucking otter or something. Or a zebra.
That is weird.
Can you imagine a vampire turning into a zebra?
It wouldn't be very intimidating.
No, what's the cute animal? A duckling.
Yeah, duck.
I would not be able to be afraid of it. And then it turns into a horrendous monster like a second later. Little cute little... Actually, that makes the duckling scarier now. Now that I think about it. What else is a cute animal? Oh, or a puppy.
Yeah, but that's an easy one.
What's that? Oh, red panda.
It would have to be like an abnormal cute animal, like a red panda. Like, I've seen a lot of puppies.
Or just a normal panda, even.
Yeah, or a normal panda. But those things are not physically able of much.
Yeah. So we got that.
But I think we're pretty much at our time limit here today, guys.
If you guys want a specific one, then please message us on Twitter or on Gmail, and then we'll get that figured out. But other than that, I think that's it for me. Kevin, do you have anything else?
No, I don't have anything to add.
Cool. Well, thanks again for coming by, Kevin. And next week, I think, you know what? Do you want to do Peter Curtin?
Yeah, I'll do some reading.
Right, so we'll do some research on Peter Curtin. If you guys want us to go back on cryptids and do a specific one, then email us. But as for that, that's pretty much it for me. So we'll go ahead and end it. Thank you guys for listening. Please share us with your friends and family and whatever and stuff like that. Thank you. You fucker. You fucking fucks.
You're going off again?
You fucking... No, I'm just kidding. I'm just having a lycanthropy episode. I feel like I'm a duckling. I'm a duckling now, dude. I'm going to be a duckling furry. I'm going to yiff and yaff or whatever they say that fucking is, and I'm going to do that.
Alrighty, well... I hope you don't need help with that one.
What? Kevin, come on.
No, thank you, sir. I know fuck sheep. No.